Pop, pop, checkity pop.
Boom. Is it recording already?
No, it's been recording for a while.
All right, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Welcome to Frame of Mind. This is Aaron.
Yo, I'm Matt.
And this week we have a movie called Sunshine. A little bit of a throwback back to 2007.
It's been a while.
Yeah, and why are we doing it this week, Matt?
Because nothing good was in theaters. And
we could have seen Cars 3.
Yeah.
Your son would love that.
Yeah, he probably would for about 10 minutes, and then I would walk up and down the stairs. Anyway, no, we did this because I think Sunshine is a pretty loved movie, right? I mean,
it has pretty good reviews, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like not quite a cult classic, but it's kind of an under-the-radar film. So I was like, why don't we do this and see what kind of feedback we can get.
Yeah, it was back when I was in high school, so...
Yeah.
I had no idea it was even a thing.
I just remember my brother got this movie from his boss when he worked for a production company. And his boss is like, this is how you make a sci-fi movie. So I was like, let's check it out.
It's worth a shot. So that's like what we did.
Yeah, second or third time seeing it. So no big deal.
All right, very nice.
But this was your first time seeing it.
Yeah, and it's actually the first time I've seen a movie that wasn't made in the last 2 years in a very long time. I don't know that I've watched a movie from more than 2 years ago in over like 3 or 4 years.
Because there's a lot of good movies.
I know, but there's also so many new movies.
You just got to prioritize your time better.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, work. Put it aside, man.
Getting married in 3 weeks and...
Yeah, totally not important. Come on.
Not at all. Movies is life.
She'll understand.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Personal lives aside.
Let's do it.
Sunshine.
You shall not pass!
Excuse me, bitch. You don't need to shout.
I volunteer as tribute.
Do not talk about Fight Club.
Why so serious?
I could do this all day.
Okay. So, let's start off with a premise. Ready for this?
Give it to us, Matt.
It's 2057, the year, and the world is frozen in a state of winter. See what I did there?
Global cooling.
Yeah. And the sun is dying, and so... The world is now going to send its second Hail Mary ship.
Number two.
Yeah, number two, Icarus II, to deliver a payload which will reignite our sun, but not before trouble ensues on these passengers through, I don't know what you say, unforeseen terror.
Yeah.
And all the while the sun is just bearing down on them.
This is the second space movie that I'm sitting there thinking, why are they doing what they're doing?
Yeah, no, I did think about that too, referencing Alien Covenant.
Right.
You kind of think, I mean, I didn't think it nearly as much, because there was a voice of sanity in this.
Right.
But, hashtag Captain America. but still, I was like, come on, you guys, just stay the course. Anyway. Let's not get into that right now.
I'm really bad at spoilers. We talked about this after last week's episode. I apologize, you guys.
So Aaron's banned, yes, from giving any kind of premise.
I like to give details. So by trade, I'm a user experience designer. And I try to think of the most concise and easy ways to describe things and allow people to use websites and apps and whatever else. Blah, blah, blah. But when I'm giving... a story, I want everyone to have all the background information so that they know what we're talking about. But with movies, you don't
like
do that.
A third of the movie to them. It's all right. It's all right.
So that's why Matt's taking over this section this week.
It's all right. Well, speaking of details and fine attention to details, Mr. Designer, what did you think of the details in this movie?
I thought it was really good. We'll get into a little bit later some of the science of it. And how I didn't feel like that was a very good representation of what would have actually happened. But like I said, we'll get into that later. No spoilers yet.
Oh, look at you.
Overall,
I'll keep a tally.
It was pretty good, though. I saw it late at night. I was a little tired. But the movie itself was fantastic in the sense that You've got really good sets for the time. Watching it now, 10 years later.
Oh my goodness, that is 10 years. I didn't even think about that.
It's pretty impressive. Like,
you dated us too, by the way. Thank you.
Yep. Sorry. But watching it 10 years later, you look back at it and it doesn't look like the systems are terribly old. And that's what I like about it. I appreciate that it's not this super sci-fi, unrealistic future. Right. But that it, like, it's just a build upon what we currently have. Yeah, buttons and things in the spaceship may have looked a little older than fancy glass touchscreens. But right. Fancy glass touchscreens in a spacecraft aren't really realistic because they're not reliable. You have multiple different systems that could go wrong, where a button, you have one single system that can go wrong, and you replace one button, and you no longer have a system that goes wrong. Whereas with a touchscreen and all these fancy panels that you have in all the current space movies, that's not realistic, because if your panel goes wrong, you've lost 35 buttons on that stupid panel.
At least.
Right. So I greatly appreciate that it's realistic in the sense that the spaceship is timeless. That if something happens, they have backups and redundancies and things that can work. So from a design standpoint, set standpoint, costume standpoint, they really did a good job.
Yeah, speaking of which, like, I did a quick Google search throughout everything, trying to learn a little bit about the production of this. And apparently, and I could be wrong about this, but they shot the movie, so the actual film recording was only 3 months long.
Wow.
And then it took about 2.5 years to do the movie, though. So they spent an entire year on CGI, on graphic effects such as that. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the sun is obviously such a huge component of this movie. And other things like set design and costumes, prepping all that kind of stuff for this. And so, I agree. I appreciate, the sets were great. The costumes were great. The talking about spacesuits and everything were very, they were kind of odd, but they were believable.
Right.
For the most part.
It was less fancy gee whiz space stuff and more that looks absolutely functional.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't trying to be over the top techno, advanced or whatever. So I think they did a good job. I agree with you, though, and we'll get more into it. I think they should have done a little more research.
But it's interesting. You look at movies like The Martian, that has fantastic scientific evidence behind most of what's in the movie. You rarely see things in The Martian that aren't proven by science, that you can't actually do, which is great. And there was a lot of applause for the way that they did that and the fact that they integrated so many scientists and professionals in the making of the movie. But at the same time, you still have this futuristic look on everything that they're using, the spacecraft, everything.
And right.
So in this movie, you have a balance of less actual, true, scientific, proven facts, but more of the functionality in the spaceship and the tools that they're using. And so, I don't know. What balance do you feel is better? Having a perfectly scientific movie or...
We kind of go over this, right? We would rather have... We can look past what you're going to blatantly state as being oddball, right? The sun's dying. Okay, I'm going to look past that because for whatever reason, the cue ball particle, which I did some research, okay, why is the sun dying? They don't tell you this in the movie at all, why it's dying, so I don't feel like it's a spoiler at all. But apparently this theoretical particle has gotten caught in our sun, which is technically more dense than typical matter. We'll get into that. Anyway, you can look past these things, and as long as the general physics and everything else works, I'm good with it. But right. if you start missing on the little things, that's where I get mad, and I can't enjoy the movie as much. See, Power Rangers, I could look past a lot of that stuff. There's aliens and stuff, but we talked about the practicality of their suits and stuff like that. Didn't make sense, and you gotta put time and effort into those little things.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But I still feel like this movie did a really good job. I'm struggling to find a good rating, though. don't know if we should jump into ratings yet or not, but
let's talk a little bit more. What about the characters? What did you feel about? I mean, we had quite a cast in this movie. You have Cillian Murphy, who I love. He's in a bunch of things like 28 Days Later, who was also directed by the same director, Danny Boyle.
The Dark Knight. Or no, is it Batman?
Well, Begins? Yeah, he's in all the Nolan Batmans, technically. He makes small appearances in the other two.
Yeah.
But yeah. And he's coming up in Dunkirk as well. Yeah. He's in Peaky Blinders. If you haven't watched that, I'm still trying to write a review on that. But
and that was ultimately what spurred us doing this movie this week, is because we have a pending review on Peaky Blinders.
Yes.
Coming from Matthew the Great.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so if you want to go check that out, hopefully it'll be up pretty soon. Anyway.
And if not, we have plenty of other things that you can read.
Yeah. All right, so what did you think about them?
I thought they did great. So my role in this podcast is much different than yours, even. And it may frustrate you, but I go into things with zero research. And like that's where I feel I can be more helpful in other people wanting to go see a movie or not.
Well, I think that's the point of it. So
your average movie watcher doesn't do research beforehand. They may watch the trailer, catch something on Snapchat or Instagram, or
they might just recognize Twitter. Them like, hey, they're in this movie.
Exactly. And so as I sat down to watch this movie, I was like, why does Matt want to watch this movie from 2007? Oh my gosh, this is such an old movie. But then I started watching and I was like, oh look, that's Captain America, that's Chris Evans. And then, oh look, it's this creepy dude, I wonder if he's going to be creepy in this movie. And then, oh look, Rose Byrne, she's a great actress. She's done a lot of funny family movies, a lot of funny rom-coms. And
wasn't she also in
she's in
that X-Men. Scary movie? What was it called? Don't worry about it. Go on. You got Benedict Wong, which I was like, yeah, great. A slimmer Benedict Wong, who's in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a pretty strong cast.
And Mark Strong is great in this, too. I feel like Mark Strong is always good. Even that TV show that he was in for a while, that I should probably research what it was pretty great.
Yeah. I've got problems with the way that he was the villain and his story and character development, but that's probably in spoilers, so
okay,
we'll leave it there. But yeah, overall, I think the cast did a really good job. They worked really well together. They fit well together. Everything was pretty impressive.
Yeah. No, I wasn't super impressed with anybody. I don't think anyone deserved an Oscar award for this. But I mean, everyone did fine except Chris Evans was probably the best.
Yeah.
He was the most believable. I felt like he was the most passionate. He had the most conviction in his character, and he was also, in my opinion, the sanest one on board.
Yeah, definitely.
So maybe the voice of reason. I don't know.
And that's a cool part about the story. I feel like they did a good part or a good job in the development of each of the characters, because you do see them go kind of in and out of these episodes of sanity, and you think about the whole idea. You're getting closer to the sun and you're about to launch a bomb into the sun to reignite it.
You got 4 minutes to escape, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd be freaking out.
Yeah. No, and another fun fact that I looked up, and whether or not it's completely true, is for anybody else to do more research, is that apparently they all lived together for some time. All the actors kind of lived together so that they had this, like, very open feeling towards one another. They knew each other, you know, and they try to give off, you know, that vibe that you have with a roommate. So
yeah.
I thought that was well done on everybody's part for doing that.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely comes through, and to the point that, like, in the beginning of the movie, you have arguments happening on the ship, and it feels real. It feels like it could really be a situation that it makes you kind of cringe a little, like, oh, why are you guys fighting? Stop fighting. This is awkward.
Yeah.
Really good job.
All right. So what would you rate this then? Let's finish up here with non-spoilers.
I would rent it, which is a bigger thing for me. So it'd probably push the 3 out of 5 stars, maybe even 3.5 out of 5.
Right.
Because I don't rent anything.
That's right. You don't. I know exactly what you do.
It's a good one. I'd recommend people see it.
Yeah. If you have the opportunity, I think everyone should see this. I'd give it I don't know what I'd give it. What do they call it? A red giant? That's what I'd give it.
All right.
So that's like, you got our sun, which is like a medium life sun. You have isn't it called red giant? I believe it's a red giant. And then you go to white dwarf. And then you go to supernova. So that's like, it's down there. Speaking of stars, how many stars I'd give it? What type of star I'd give it? There you go.
Size matters, man.
All right. You don't have to tell me twice.
So, should we jump into spoilers now?
Let's do it.
All right. What happens, Matt?
So this is where things get tricky. Okay, so this movie basically obeys Murphy's Law. And like a writing class I once had, the teacher said, always keep your hero in trouble. And this movie is a great example of that, but to its detriment, I would say. So here's a quick summary of all the things that go wrong. Sun goes out, Icarus 1 disappears, they forget to adjust their shields when they adjust trajectory, the captain dies, oxygen room is burned, airlock is broken, somebody gets frostbite, as minimal. There's too many mouth breathers, there's a killer among them. The guy has to do a coolant dive in liquid nitrogen. His foot gets caught. People are trapped. There's the depressurization of the entire ship. There's no controls. The bomb's leaving the station. And then he trips. There's a leap of faith. You gotta ignite before you get killed. And hopefully win the day.
Just nonstop.
Yeah, like one after another after another. To the point that it becomes unbelievable. Like,
right.
Like, this just wouldn't happen. There's too many things going bad. Like, I'm okay with Murphy's Law, and what can go wrong will go wrong, whatever. But I'm just like, no, why would he trip right here? Like, you don't need him to trip. It's already super intense. Just make him run, and then he's got this huge leap that he's got to do.
Right.
And then, yeah, I think maybe we should get into the physics of it and what bothers us about the science of it all. Because let me just start right there. He jumps these 200 meters to the bomb as it's leaving the station, right? And he catches on right before the igniters turn on. It would rip his arms off. Like, as soon as those go, there's so much force. There's so much thrust. I mean, it would instantly move, right? So you think of momentum.
Have you watched SpaceX rockets take off?
No.
So, like, they're constantly taking off. The next, like, the one that was supposed to be 2 days ago was rescheduled to the 23rd or 24th is the new window.
Okay.
And it's fascinating to watch because, yeah, they're powerful rockets. Unbelievably powerful. But it still takes it a good, like, 10 seconds before it goes very fast.
Right.
There's just so much thrust pushing.
And where are those rockets?
They're on Earth, affected by gravitational pull.
And by air resistance.
That's true.
So you have all these different factors that it's got to overcome. But it's already getting pulled towards
the sun. Right.
In that direction. True. There's nothing stopping it from moving. And then the thrusters ignite. So
why would Icarus 1 still be just floating there? It's not like they're
They said that it went around in orbit or something like that, right?
Yeah.
It was just stationary in orbit.
The sun is just huge.
Yeah.
They don't do a very good job at showing distance. And this was something else that I didn't like, is that throughout the movie, they're not giving you a good layout of the ship. You see the ship as a whole, but then every scene you don't see where they are in relation to other modules on the ship.
Right.
And then their proximity to the sun, they may reference it a couple times, but it's not... I don't know.
Hmm. And just going back real quick, if I'm wrong on that whole thrust issue, my bad.
Totally makes sense.
But that's where my mind is at right now. If I'm wrong, please educate me, because obviously I need to be educated.
But then again, drones don't fly in a vacuum. It has nothing to do with anything, because it's jet propulsion.
Exactly.
Not propeller propulsion.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so
I got a new drone today, so that's on my mind.
It was pretty fun. Speaking of the ship, what did you think about the contraction and expansion of the ship? Do you remember that part? You could like hear it starting to creak as it turned.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that? Did you like it? Do you think that added to believability?
There wouldn't, like you just said with the propulsion issue, is there wouldn't be resistance, or at least not near as much resistance to create a need for that, or to create that kind of change, right?
Well, for me, okay.
Everything just behaves so much different that I don't know.
And I couldn't stand it because, okay, so they have to turn the ship, right, to fix the shields so that the shields are out of the sun's light. Number one, they're so close to radiation anyway. Like, I have to think, and I'm not an expert in radiation, but I'm pretty sure just being that close to the sun, even if you're hiding behind something, you're going to burn up. Pretty sure. Now, I could be wrong. Anyway, so this ship,
unless
all of a sudden...
they're aerogels.
I don't know. Anyway, it's contracting and expanding because it's so hot. And I'm just like, no, if anything, these stupid shields, I don't care what they're made of. If they're made of gold or what, they are going to melt before they ever get close enough to even affect the sun.
Right.
I don't know what you would use, what material you'd use, make those out of, because nothing is going to work. I read somewhere about like the uranium or whatever their bomb would be, would melt before it even gets there. Like, it'd be done. So how would you ever get it close enough to the sun? So that just really bothered me. I'm like,
but
don't
drop. This is 2050. This is like 40 years in the future.
I know.
We'll have stuff like that by then.
Flying cars and all.
We have iPhones.
3D
today.
Sharks. I know. It'll happen. If history has told us one thing. Yep. Okay, so that was one thing I didn't like.
That's a good point.
Anything else stick out to you? Anything on your mind that you didn't like?
So, I don't like the like variability in the shield, and that they ask the computer to change the shield, and there's no visible difference other than it gets brighter or darker. And I know there's like electronic neutral density filters that you can use for cameras that make it so that less or more light comes into the camera. Sony is a fantastic manufacturer for the electronic neutral density filter.
That's cool. Yeah.
And so it basically just adds shades in front of the video, shades that you can't see with your eye, and at a refresh rate, I don't know. So maybe it's possible, but you're not only just filtering light that comes through, you're filtering UV rays, you're filtering a lot of energy, just flat out energy.
Yeah.
And so those would need shields on top of shields.
You have to have
such
a low expansion rate, right? This material would have to have such a low coefficient of thermal expansion, or a high one. I mean, how do you account for that in this shield? I think it's good that they left certain things very ominous and ambiguous. Like the sun dying. I was glad that they didn't try and explain the science of that in the movie. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, it's almost it's a too known of an entity. Like the sun, you can't reignite the sun. And what you're trying to tell us, you know, you try to invent this thing that just isn't going to work. It's too known that you're not going to get there. It's too well accepted that that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it should have been something completely different. I think the should have been going harvesting water or something, you know, and then something happens. Because maybe people don't know as much about drilling as they do about approaching, you know, the sun.
Yeah. So another thing that bothered me, like, they've got this big old window that they can see the sun. And I watched it with my fiance Abby, and she mentioned to me, like, the brightness when he asks it to get initially brighter is just minimal. The room gets slightly brighter, and then he decides to take it up another percent. And that next percent is, like, way too much, and you can only look at it for 30 seconds. And so, yeah. Like, the difference between the first percentage and the difference between the second and third percentage are, they're not
vastly consistent. Different.
Right. Yeah. It just, like, jumps up this huge amount to where you can't take it in. And if, I'm not doubting the fact that the percentage was right, that you could only see it at 4% of its total brightness or whatever.
You'd think it would be a linear relationship, though. I get what you're saying.
Right. That it wouldn't just, like, all of a sudden jump straight up.
Right.
And so they didn't do a very good job there. You're
going to be blinded at 5%.
Right.
Yeah.
And then along those same lines, you've got this giant window that they can sit. It's like a big theater room where they can just look at the sun.
Yeah.
But then you've got this spacesuit, and all they have is like an inch strip. If you can make glass like the size of a theater screen...
Why not give them a little more visibility?
Exactly. You're getting like an inch by 6 inches. Well, it
probably had to be like, you know, 10 feet wide of whatever material was. I don't know.
Maybe they ran out.
Yeah. Because apparently they had harvested all their materials for Icarus 2, and they had none left, so it was their last chance. I don't know.
Me neither.
No, another part that bothers me, and I've brought this up before on this podcast, are the bends. So in scuba diving, you come up from down low, from underwater too fast, the air that's inside your veins and your lungs will expand too quickly because there's less pressure the higher up you go. Mm-hmm. And in space, there's basically zero pressure. And so all the air in your body wants to just come out. And so they're all sitting here and they're trying to go through this blast, not this gate, this blown out air gate, and they're going to blast themselves out. And then they're saying, like, oh, I'm going to be okay. It'll be good. Even though you have no pressurization whatsoever. I was like, no
themselves up in way. Insulation.
Yeah. You would get the worst case of the bends. If not, like, your eardrums at least are going to pop.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen to your lungs. I think there's been documented cases of this before where NASA was testing or something like that. But you'd have the worst case of the bends. You wouldn't just be okay right after, you know, you wouldn't. And then the frostbite thing, I did some research on this because I read some reviews on this topic and it was really interesting. Since they're in space, there's no convection, there's no conduction, their skin is not touching anything. So the only way that your body heat escapes is through radiation. And radiation is really slow. So you actually wouldn't lose your body heat very fast. So you wouldn't just instantly get frostbite. So my buddy, he does this cryotherapy stuff where, you know, how it's good for your body to get some, like, whatever the opposite of thermal shock is. Like, you get this, like, very cold soak, I guess you'd say, mm-hmm. for a couple minutes in, like, cold water. So he does that with nitrogen gas. And it's really cold. It's colder. It's, like, minus something Fahrenheit. I don't even remember. But I thought it was really interesting because it's got a lower coefficient of, oh my goodness, can't even think. Great. And it's got lower convection rates than water does, because water's this liquid form. It just grabs onto your skin and it just feels so intense, even at like 40 degrees. So in space, you'd have nothing. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
Hmm.
So I wish they could have done these like quick little research asks, you know, because they're talking with, they consulted with a guy at CERN named Brian Cox on the whole, the sun dying, how would this happen, how would we reignite it, what would we need to do, kind of thing. But ask him, like we said, these basic, simple questions. But So I couldn't stand that. I was like, nope, that would never happen. Never would you just be okay just going through space is basically it. Let alone, would the air behind you be sufficient enough to propel you super fast? Think about the mass of the air versus the mass of you, the object, being propelled out. I mean, it's just going to knock you over, if anything. But it's not going to shoot you out over 20 yards in a matter of seconds. Sorry. That's my...
I think we should do some experiments.
Okay, you got a vacuum chamber big enough?
Let's make one.
Okay.
King of Random on YouTube showed us how.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Shout out.
Those are all really good points, though.
But that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so the sun was a leap of faith. We'll give it to him. But then these minor things need to be spot on for it to be a good sci-fi movie, right? Like Event Horizon... I don't really remember that show all that great, but they talk about that they have their warp drive that basically allows them to fold space-time together, and they can just basically teleport from one spot to another. And I'm okay with that. That's fine. But make sure all your other physics, you know, are in line, that you're adhering to the laws of physics, since you're already making me have this leap of faith.
Yeah. So Interstellar is another movie that kind of pulls in some ideas, and this is another frustration of mine, is that so they get closer to the sun and they find Icarus One, and they find out that the crew is all dead, that they decided to sacrifice themselves, so they think, and they do a little more digging and they find out that the ship is fine, the payload was fine, there was still plenty of resources for them, the forest has overgrown. And so they sit there wondering, how did this happen? How is the ship still here? Perfectly workable condition. They find out that the coolant chambers had been destroyed. And so they start to think that they saw the light and they realized that that something needed to be done, or that they didn't need the sun. They start going crazy. And it just... Like, as they're going through the ship, they have these flashbacks that are way too fast.
It wasn't, yeah.
They don't pull the story together at all.
I did not like the subliminal flashes of this person had died and this person had died. I just didn't. I didn't like that either.
Me neither.
By the way. Okay.
And then you've got the captain of the ship, and he...
Pinback,
yeah. He just played by Mark Strong. It's frustrating because
he's in this like deteriorating skin because he's been looking at the sun.
Unbelievably sunburned.
Yeah. And his skin is like almost falling off too.
But for some reason that gives him like power. And so he's like almost warping time. Like he's
long jumping distant from relative place to place. Of Clark Kent. Okay.
Yeah. He must be.
Yeah, he's absorbing that power.
And it just doesn't seem to fit. At first, I was thinking, okay, between Chris Evans' character and Mark Strong, you've got, like, hot and cold. And Chris Evans, he's going down into these cryotubes, or not the cryotubes, but the cooling chambers, and he's fixing them, and you see that he's almost starting to gain a resistance to it, you think, because... What human being could really be in liquid nitrogen for that long?
Were you really going there in your
long?
Mind? You were going
I
there?
I was starting to think it was this battle of hot and cold.
Oh, wow.
That you've got two people that are gaining resistance to the sun, the hot in one, and then the cold in the other.
This is what too many superhero movies has done to you.
I know. And this isn't a superhero movie at all.
Exactly.
And it just became frustrating that he seems to have this extra power, even though... He's obviously been exposed to way too much solar radiation.
Right.
He should be dead, honestly.
Should be dead. His muscles would be deteriorating. I mean, none of these guys look like they're in peak physical condition. Even Captain America doesn't. And right. It's like, he's over there doing push-ups? Are you kidding me? And
right.
Then at some point he's able to hold someone up with one hand. I'm just like, no, man. You're so fragile. I mean, his skin rips off so easily in that one scene. You would think, okay, if you're exerting yourself that much, your muscle fibers are going to rip off that easily.
Right.
If you're that tender.
Not just your flesh.
Yeah. ridiculous.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
And then he shows up and he becomes this, like, unkillable person.
An undetected person, too.
Right.
Like, you'd think there would have been some he sort of way.
He sabotages the connection that Icarus 2 has with Icarus 1. He like, blows the air seal or makes it faulty or whatever. And no one notices?
Wouldn't that be in the system protocols? Like, I guess they're not expecting someone on board. But you'd think it would be, like, unidentified person on board.
But they've got security protocols for everything else. They have to override and grant and authorize access and other things
right.
throughout the rest of the movie. So why would that not apply in this?
Which is a huge other plot hole for me. Okay, he comes and he... Okay, so when the shields go bad, it requires... it starts re-correcting itself, right? Auto-correcting. The ship does. And they're like, no, stop auto-correcting. And they need to deactivate it. And they need a special... They need captain's code, right? And they need someone else of the crew to confirm it. And yet, when he's pulling out the cryo chambers, wouldn't there be that safety feature in there? Like, oh, it's getting too hot. Doesn't matter. Plunge.
Especially like, where that's such a critical thing.
Yeah. And then wouldn't it require someone to say, hey, no, override command 000 or whatever.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, you're not recognized. See ya. Boom. And then his plan's foiled and he's screwed. Like, right. Game over.
It seems like there were so many opportunities where it would have been thwarted. Yeah. It would have just stopped in its tracks, but instead, because it's Hollywood and a movie and it needs to be entertaining and thrilling, that it kept going.
And I don't want to hate on this movie. I don't, because I really do enjoy it, and I always have. And I'm a supporter of Danny Boyle, the creator, who also did my favorite zombie movie, 28 Days Later, of all time, who also starred Cillian Murphy. And that was actually one point I did like about this movie, was that Mark Strong's character became enveloped with the sun, obsessed with the sun. You know, he looked at it for so long and he went crazy, he went mad. And it was really fun to watch the psychiatrist on board, you know, start to show those early symptoms of doing the exact same thing. He just was getting mesmerized by the sun, just watching it. He was the guy, you know, trying to see it as much as he could without the filter, and it was really cool, and I think they should have played on that even more and gone deeper into that, like what the sun does on people, you know, almost like what happens in the desert or something, you know, they start seeing right. things and
mirages.
Yeah, maybe stuff started happening that wasn't really happening. That would have been cooler, a more explicable twist than this captain running through and killing everyone butt naked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hate that I couldn't see him. I want the whole fuzziness. Right. I didn't like that. I want to be able to see him.
Right.
That just shows me you're not confident in your makeup skills or something.
I totally agree.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. Like you said, I don't want to hate on it either because I did like it. I did enjoy it. It was a good, well-told story, but there were just some things that just should have been thought out a little more, I think.
So, what did you think about the ending then? How did you feel about that? Like the very ending, they finally set it off, and then all of a sudden, I don't really understand what happened. So, I'm interested to see what you think.
What do you mean by you don't understand?
So there's like the sun comes in right into the room after he sets off the thing, and then he just kind of stands there and greets the sun or something. I don't understand. I almost wondered if it was like a religious type overtone, like him meeting his maker kind of thing.
Yeah, and it kind of seems that way.
But I couldn't be sure. I don't know what this really is.
You're coming into the sun. You're dead. You would have been dead long ago. You would have been burnt to a crisp.
Well, and then they kind of touched on that, right? Like, once it goes into the sun, time and space are going to meld together. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, you would just die anyway. If you had that sort of spatial distortion, I mean, you'd be done. But I just was trying to make sense of what the ending means. I wasn't 100% sure.
I don't know.
Because you have all his sparks or whatever on behind him, mm-hmm. and then he's staring at the sun, and I don't understand. It was ominous, so much so that I was like, this reminds me of 2001 Space Odyssey, where the creator actually said, I didn't want you to understand what was going on. I don't want you to know what was happening at the very end. And I was just like, well, I don't.
Yeah.
If you can understand the ending to 2001 Space Odyssey, you win. That's all I can say.
It's a good question, and I don't know how I felt about it or what I got from it other than, all right, this is the end. It was a good place to end. I'm glad it didn't keep going and try to explain more about the Earth gaining heat again.
Yeah, that was good. All right, well then, let me ask you as a kind of final question, unless there's more. What do you think about... So you mentioned Interstellar. What do you think? Did Interstellar rip this movie off? Did you notice the similarities?
I did. Like I mentioned in the glitching of like the time and space and how it jumps back and forth, I feel like several of those elements were pretty straight rips.
Right. Well, the whole thing, when I look at it, okay, humanity's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
We need to send out this crew of physicists out here. And yeah, they travel and they're going to deal with relativity, as said in Interstellar. You know, and a bunch of them die from unforeseen circumstances. But then, really, the main villain of the movie is man. You know, man is shooting itself in the foot with Matt Damon, you know, trying to sabotage their current, in Interstellar, trying to sabotage their trip kind of thing. And so I was just like, whoa, this is complete rip. Interstellar is almost a complete rip-off of this. Although I think Interstellar, from my high-level view, because I haven't gotten too deep into it, is a better portrayal of this storyline. I feel like they dealt with the physics, you know, the minuscule physics, much better than this movie did.
And I feel like I had mentioned with Murder on the Orient Express, where there's just so many clues and things that can be learned in rewatching the movie. I don't feel like that's the case with Sunshine.
Right.
I don't feel like rewatching it would give me this greater perspective, whereas with Interstellar, you rewatch it and you start to put together all of the little moments, the little blips, that these lapses in the time-space continuum are happening. Or another good one to rewatch is The Sixth Sense. Another good one to rewatch is, what's that other alien movie with Haley Joel Osment?
That's not Haley Joel Osment. Who, that's an it? M. Night Shyamalan with Mel Gibson and Joaquin Phoenix.
Is there not a kid, though?
There's a kid.
Who's
in there.
The kid?
It's not him, though.
Okay. But I thought that was
a strange universe.
It might be. Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know. But in those movies, I feel like they all have clues that as you rewatch, you start to see, you start to put together in Signs, the glass of water, in
Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, you can see all the clues kind of thing. I like those as well. I like going back. And Interstellar, I mean, this isn't a review on Interstellar. I mean, Interstellar had its inexplicable moments as well, where you're just like, what just happened? Yeah. I have no idea how you explain that. And the fact that he went to a black hole and somehow it's only passed 90 years or 70 years or something. By the time he went back to Anne Hathaway, she would have been dead. So, I don't know. That about does it for me. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, though, I like this movie. It's entertaining. It's got a strong cast. Like I said, Chris Evans is great. I mean, he's the voice of reason. And the fact that they say, you know, they're these all super intelligent people. They're the top of their class in everything they do. And they're like, should we stop and go see what's wrong with Icarus One? Just seems stupid to me. Like, you wouldn't go to the distress call. You just wouldn't. Like Chris Evans says, like his character, I don't remember his name, Mace. as he says, like, no, we have a mission, and it, you know, they don't matter if they have, if they all got sick and it's contagious and we go on, you know, you got to think about that. It's not worth it. Even that tiny little itty bitty chance, like Batman says about Superman, if there's a 1% chance that there's a danger, it's not worth it, because right now you're headed with 100% certainty that you're going to complete your mission.
Right.
If you add in another factor, it is not worth it. You still have, okay, you shoot in your payload. Apparently you can have an escape route, right, and still not get torn up or whatever by the sun. So why not make a drop it, come back and make a quick little detour over there behind their shield and say, hey, what's up? How's it going?
And use their shield to improve your shield.
Well, we found out their ship was, you couldn't use it because all the computers were fried.
But it would have been just another barrier at least.
Yeah. And so, yeah, just wouldn't happen. I don't like when it's because of stupidity that these things happen.
Yep, and like we mentioned, it's the second time we watched a stupid space movie with stupid decisions.
Yeah, although I like this space movie, and I recommend it to anyone that can overlook these things.
Much more so than Alien Covenant.
Oh, yeah. Because if Alien Covenant would have dealt with the frickin' engineers, I tell you, I would have loved it.
Yeah.
But no.
But yeah, that about wraps it up for us this week for Sunshine, made in 2007 with Chris Evans,
Cillian Murphy, Mark Strong. Got the lady from Rose Crouching Byrne, Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
Some good people. Recommend going and watching it. You can also read about Peaky Blinders, which will be up soon.
Hopefully.
on our blog section of our website. And if you have any comments, questions, anything you want to say to us, we have a comment section on our website as well in the About Us section. You can also reach out to us at frameofmind.reviews@gmail.com. Feel free to check out our website.
Yeah.
Like, subscribe.
Whatever.
Yeah. We
crap
appreciate
on it.
All
I
of
don't
it.
Care.
Right. This is just a fun project for us.
We just want to know what people think. If we're crazy, well, then maybe we'll be sad, but it'll be okay.
Yeah.
I'll get over it.
I mean, it's exciting that we've got more and more listeners every week. And we've got some regular listeners. We still don't have enough to really see all of the metrics. So hopefully you share. That way we can learn. And if you don't want to share, at least let us know. Like, send us a message.
And let us know of a movie you want us to do. Maybe there's a sweet movie we don't know that we could go see when, you know, King Arthur is playing again in theaters. We don't want to go see that. Yeah, that'd be good.
There are weeks that there just aren't big movies in the theaters that we want to see. And it's great to have a good bank of movies that we can go watch. So
yeah,
give us your recommendations. We're going to implement soon a star system on the website where you can go into each podcast episode and you can then give your own rating for the movie as well so that we can see what
is it the movie or the episode? So they rate us.
No.
I would like that one.
Rate us.
Yeah.
We could do that too. But
that'd be cool. That way everyone knows which episodes... Hopefully there's a couple above, like, one star.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
But I'd be interested to know what you guys think of the movie, to see if you guys feel that our review is decent. And so maybe we'll implement a two-tier review. So you can review the movie itself, and then you can review our podcast episode. See if we did a good job with the episode and in reviewing the movie.
Right.
But, Matt, what are you excited for? What other movies are coming up?
Oh, I don't know if excitement quite captures it, but next week is Transformers, which...
I'm not a fan of all the hate.
I still think
they're good movies.
You think they're the exact same movie every time.
But every time I'm entertained. Cool sounds, good dubstep. Like, it's just... It's the recipe that makes me happy every time.
So you like the Fast and Furious movies too?
I don't. But that's because I can't stand The Rock and Vin Diesel. I don't like
that fight scene was terrible in 6 or 5. I don't remember what it is.
Just so cheesy.
Transformers coming up.
Cheesy in its own right. But
and then I think we got Baby Driver. That's what I'm really excited for the week after.
We may have a guest for that episode as well, so stay tuned.
All right. Okay, well, once again, this Frame of Mind, I'm Matt.
And I'm Aaron. Thanks for listening.
Look, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I forgot you're here.
It's over. Go home.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.